Right Said Fred were number one in 32 countries when I'm Too Sexy came out back in 1992, including here in the U.S. That made them the first British artist since the Beatles to reach number one in the U.S. with a debut single. Now, these days, Right Said Fred has a great new single out called Sexaholic. They're touring. They're about to be in a new movie, possibly. And joining us right now, making a connection, is Richard from Right Said Fred. How's it going, man?
I'm all right, Dave. How are you?
Doing good. Where are you at right now, exactly?
I'm actually in... I hesitate to say this because I know you guys have had the most incredible heat wave, it's a much more stunning thing than we've had over here. But the weather in London is absolutely stifling. So I've actually been out on the bike today trying to get some exercise.
How hot is it over there?
It's about 80 or something. I mean, I still think in Fahrenheit, which is really old-fashioned, I know, but about 80, I think.
I think as I look out the window here, it's the afternoon right now here, it's 105, so there you go.
My God. You can tell me to shut up if you like.
Yeah, I know, right? all right, well, we got to talk about this new single. I'm a big fan of it. It's firing up the charts, doing well over here in the U.S. Sexaholic, kind of tell us about that song.
The story behind the song is this is the first song we've done in a long time that we didn't write. We were given a song by a demo of the song by our publisher. And my initial reaction, because I'm so lame, my initial reaction was I saw the word sex in the title, and I remember thinking, oh, I'm too sexy, sexaholic, it kind of put me off. And then Fred said, actually, well, maybe we should play it to his daughter, who was 14, to get her reaction, because obviously she's a much younger age group and blah, blah, blah. So we played it to her, and she said, this is wicked, you've got to do it. And so we went to Trondheim, we put the vocals down really quickly, and then the guy sent us the finished production on MP3 about a month later. So compared to Sexy, it was actually pretty pain-free, actually. With Sexy, because we wrote it, that when you write something, you become emotionally involved with it much more than you would something else. So Sexy was actually quite a difficult thing to do. This was us performing somebody else's song. So in a way, a lot of that emotional weight was gone.
Well, and you guys have been touring quite a bit, too, in support of that. Is that still just as fun as it was back in the day?
Yeah, it is, actually, yeah. I mean, we have recorded songs that I don't want to sing, that I sort of think when it comes up in the set, I think, oh, it's not one of my favorites. But I have to say, Sexy is, I've never, ever had to sing that song and not want to sing it. Apart from, and I'll be completely honest with you, apart from when we first came to America, and it was, when I look back, we were really, really lucky, and I didn't really understand what was happening. I've got to be honest. Although I was in my 30s, I didn't understand what a big deal it was, and I was absolutely, absolutely petrified for most of our trip because it was just so huge. It was so, and America is so huge, and it was so, it was awe-inspiring to go on chat shows and to be recognized everywhere you went. It was very. Some people, I think, take to it. I just found the whole thing initially very stressful, but I think I'm better at it now.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you guys kind of embraced that song, because I talk to some artists and they're like, oh, I hate that song, I wish it would go away.
No, not
one of those things.
The only thing I was disappointed in, which was actually quite funny when I look back, we released Deeply Dippy in America, and I think our record label told us it got the worst radio reaction of any song we'd ever released.
That's great.
So it went from one extreme to the other really quickly,
Whatever. Better to be remembered, right, than forgotten?
Absolutely. It bothered me at the time, but, I love I'm Too Sexy. I'm really proud of it. I would never, ever, ever flag it off, and I would never refuse to sing it. I think, it always makes me smile. It just does. It always does.
Yeah, I still love that song, too. We're talking right now to Richard from Right Said Fred. So this rumor about you guys maybe being in a movie, what's that all about? Is that true?
Yes, it is true. We've actually got some speaking lines, so I've got my speech ready for the Academy, just in case. What it is, it's a true story. It's about a guy who grew up in the Midlands, in Crewe, or in the Midlands in the UK, and fell in love with American football, absolutely fell in love with NFL and American football when he was a kid. And he determined in the mid-80s in the UK to set up an American football team. But because everybody in the UK at the time was just interested in English football, he found the whole thing really stressful. And this is the story of him setting up an American football team in England in the mid-'80s, up in the Midlands, where there was also, obviously, a huge economic depression as well. So, and it's a story of that, really. You know, the stresses on his marriage, the stresses on him personally. I think he broke his arm in the very first game. And Fred and I play a couple of really, really kind of unreliable salespeople, if you like, who have got lots of pads and helmets for the team, but it's all hooky. It's all, I wouldn't say stolen, but it's all, you know, under-the-counter stuff. So we play a couple of very sort of dodgy characters, you know.
Yeah, that sounds really cool.
Big distribution in America. They've got NFL behind it. They've got Sky Sports in the UK behind it. So, you know, who knows?
Really? What's it going to be called, do you know?
Yeah, well, the title right now is Gridiron, which I think is a working title. And I know there's been another movie out a few years ago called Gridiron something else.
Gang or something, the
full name. But so they may change it, but that's the working title right now. And I think what they're trying to, I think the thinking is they want to get, you know, the American market, which is obviously really into American football, and the English market, which is into the idea of a guy sacrificing everything to make an American football team in the mid-'80s in Northern England, you know. So it should be funny. And Fred and I have to wear wigs, you'll be pleased to know. we have to wear hair pieces. And I tell you, my brother looks like a retired footballer who's seen one too many late parties.
Well, are you guys in the weight room too? Getting buffed up in the weight room too, or what?
Well, we do. I was in the gym today, and I still love it. I have to be a bit more careful now because as you get older, you have to be careful of joints, and you have to be a bit more careful of injuries and stuff. But I love it. I really enjoy the gym, and it's the one thing I would do if I wasn't a musician. I would run a health club. It's just a really social thing to do. Gets me away from music, and it keeps you fit. So I do that and a bit of cycling, a bit of both.
What about so you got the movie and the single? What else do you guys have on the agenda soon? And then is there a full length album coming out too?
Yeah, well, there'll be an album out. I think we'll probably start that in the autumn. It won't be out until next year. We're busy. We've got some gigs in China actually coming up in the early part of next year, and obviously we want to see how this movie goes towards the end of 2010. We've got quite a few festivals in Europe to do, and we obviously one of the key things we'd love to do is come over to the States and do some shows in America. So we're a lot of this is a waiting game. You have to wait and see how things pan out, and you know you can't go to a particularly America, it's a very expensive place to get to. You can't do it unless there's enough meat on the bone with the record. So we have to wait and see. And as you know, the industry now is much more challenging than it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. We're talking to Richard right now from Right Said Fred. So let's kind of go back then. So you formed what would become Right Said Fred, obviously, with your brother in 1989-ish. What made you guys get started, and like, where were you living at the time when you got things fired up?
When we started, I was living in Putney, which is southwest London, in a tiny little flat. My brother was living in not far away, still in southwest London. We were both working as painters and decorators, I think, also waiters. I was waiting tables. We both worked in the same restaurant, and we had been doing gigs in the UK for about 10 years before I'm Too Sexy broke. What we used to do, Fred and I, we were just, we were like a couple of dodgy Mexican sort of, you know, mariachi band blokes. You know, we would just walk into a restaurant and start playing our stuff. We didn't do covers. We've never done covers. We've always done our own stuff. And we would just walk into a restaurant, start singing. They would throw us out, and we'd go on to the next restaurant. When we did that on and off for about 10 years. And then we met Rob, who we wrote I'm Too Sexy with. And I must be honest, I wasn't sure about I'm Too Sexy. I couldn't imagine anybody buying it. It just sounded very unusual to me. I couldn't quite get my head around it. But we got played on Radio 1 in the UK. And by the time I got back to the gym where I was working, which was about an hour later, they told us to go back into the BBC because they had so many people phoning in asking how to get the record. And then, of course, it broke in America on import. We had no marketing strategy in America at all. None. It just broke on import. And I think what happened actually is I think a DJ, an American DJ, heard it in Europe and then played it. He was from Miami, I think. And he played it on his show in Miami, and then it took off from there. So we've never had a big budget. We've always worked independently. I think our total budget for the American thing with Sexy was $25,000, I think.
That's it?
That was it, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about the cream rising to the top. Wow.
And we never made a single penny on merch. Never. Huh. Can you believe it?
Yeah. No, I can't, actually.
No, I know. We were so crap. We were absolutely bloody useless at this site. I mean, it was such a shock. The whole thing was so, and it happened so quickly, it took us a long time to catch our breath. And I can remember walking into the Charisma New York office, where because we were signed to Charisma in the States. And everywhere, there was I'm Too Sexy T-shirts, I'm Too Sexy hats, I'm Too Sexy stickers. I'm Too Sexy was everywhere. And I can just remember thinking, we're not making a single dollar out of any of this merchandise, and we never did. We never ever did. It all happened so quickly. We were too slow. So, I have to admit to you, you know, we did a gig in LA, and the guy who was directing Die Hard series.
Oh, I love those movies. Yeah.
Yeah, he came backstage. Joel Silver, I think.
That sounds right.
Joel Silver. Yeah, and he came backstage. And he wanted to have a chat, and he sort of spoke. If I'm getting this wrong, he will, I'm sure, correct me. But I have a feeling he came backstage and was talking to us in very loose terms about playing a small role in the next Die Hard. That was the thing. And we never even bothered to take his telephone number.
Oh,
you know
man.
What I mean? I mean, we're just yeah, really, we were so so useless at that side of it. You know, yeah, really. If I was a boxer, I'd be one of those boxers with no knockout punch.
God.
I'm better now. Well, I've learned the business.
At least you know, rolled off your sleeve and you had fun with it, right? You know, right?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, exactly. And I've got some fantastic memories of America when we were there. We've been there many, many, many times, yeah.
We got to get you back, too. And so, going back to I'm Too Sexy, I read somewhere once that, I think I read this, that you guys, that was like the first song or one of the first ones you guys had kind of written together. What do you remember about the day you came up with it? How long did it take to write that song? Where were you at, et cetera?
I remember exactly when we came up with the verse. We were working in West London in a basement studio in Ealing, actually, which is West London. And it's the first time we'd ever worked on a computer. I didn't even know that you could write songs on a computer. I had no idea. So we had this bass line going round and round on a loop, and it was a bass line for another song. And the bass line was da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's all it was. And it was really hot. It was a hot summer's day. And I went into the guy whose flat this was and studio it was, I went into his bedroom just to get some fresh air. And I could still hear the loop going round and round and round. And I don't know what possessed me. I just started dancing around in front of the mirror in the bedroom and going, I'm too sexy for my shirt, you know, clowning around. And then I thought, actually, I don't mind that. That's not bad. And then we all sat around and thought, okay, you know, let's try and format a song. And it, from that moment, it took us about 3 months, I think, because we went through a whole load of lyrics. We went through I'm too sexy for Stallone, I'm too sexy for my house, all kinds of options until we narrowed it down to, you know, cat and hat and what we felt were very, very simple symbolic images. And the original version had a minor key play out that went on for 6 minutes. I think it wasn't the most commercial thing we'd ever done. And then we met a producer, Tommy D, and he knocked it into shape. And that was it. And Radio 1 played it off the acetate. In fact, we went into Radio 1. We didn't even have it on a record, I mean, or anything. In those days, it was just the acetate, and they played it off the acetate, and it went from there.
Oh, my God.
So, but I can remember very distinctly coming up with the song. And I can also remember hearing it in the studio when Phil Spaulding, the bass player, put the bass down. And he tuned the bass down so he could get a really low note on the bottom E. And that's the first time I remember thinking, actually, this is sounding real good, because the bass player on that is fantastic. So lots of really good memories of that time, yeah.
Well, I'm a big cat lover, so I've got to know, was there actually a cat? I mean, did you have a cat? Do you like cats? Or is it just
I've had cats. Well, I've had Fred's a big cat person. I've had two cats. And then when I moved house, I had to give them to the new owners because the cats were so used to the house they didn't want to move. And then Fred had two cats. One got run over in the road outside his house.
Oh, jeez.
It was a little black cat. One of those cats that was always leaving the house. It would never, ever stay inside the house. And one day it was found in the Thames, covered in mud. And another day, Fred was looking for the cat, couldn't find it, and found out that it was actually visiting a nearby office. And in the wintertime, it would go in the office and sit on the radiator because it was warmer than the house. So he's always had cats, and he's lives in Spain now, actually. But I think his daughter is allergic, so they can't have cats now. But and I live in a flat on the fifth floor, so it's not feasible to have animals here. So, but I miss it. I miss having animals around the house. It's a very soothing thing, I think.
Yeah. The name Right Said Fred. I mean, obviously,
yes. There's
Fred, but you know, how'd you come up with that?
Well, it's actually the title. You guys won't know it, I don't think, because it was only a UK hit. But when we were kids, there was a song called Right Said Fred. And it's the story of two guys. It's a bit Laurel and Hardy, actually. It's like two guys, and their job is to get this piano out of a house. They're removal men. And they have to get this huge piano out of this tiny house. And in the process of getting the piano out, they have to demolish the house. That's the gag. And the song was called Right Said Fred, and Fred's nickname is Fred. And so a friend of us phoned up when they heard it on the radio, and they said, what about Right Said Fred as a name? So we said, yeah, cool. That sounds quirky and stupid. Let's do it. And so we did, and we've worked with it ever since. If I'm Too Sexy had never happened, we may have changed the name to something like Isn't Richard Fantastic Quintet or something. I don't know. But we would have changed the name to something other than Right Said Fred. But, you know, Right Said Fred was the name we had when the record took off, and so we stayed with it.
I would think this has to be one of the coolest moments of your life then. So I think most men dreamt of this, especially back in the day. So Madonna said, quote, that Richard is the most bettable man in pop music. What was your reaction when you heard that?
Well, she's a woman of great taste. That's obviously clear. I'm really irritated that she's never phoned me up. She never twitters my account. She never phones me up. When she's playing in London, I never see her. So it's ships in the night. It was very flattering. Hey, what can I say? I mean, you know, Madonna is Madonna, and I can't. You know, it was very flattering. And I think soon after that, I won in the UK. I won Rear of the Year, which is an award that you can take seriously or not, really, depending on the mood you're in, I guess. But
wait, that exists? Rear of the Year?
Yeah, Rear of the Year. I got a great big silver platter. Really? Yeah. Really,
wow.
I did. And I was going through a kind of I'm a serious musician phase, which is really stupid, at the time, and I gave it back. Can you believe I did that? I gave it back, thinking I'm far too intellectual and sensible for this rubbish. So I gave it back. What a pompous idiot thing to do. So I kind of regret that now. But that's the only reason I'm on the bike, in the hope that I might win it a second time.
Rear of the Year, that's great. We're talking to Richard from Right Said Fred. The second album was Sex and Travel. What were your favorite songs in that album?
One of my favorite songs, I think, was Rocket Town, which still gets asked for, and Bumped, which was the first single off the album. But I think I don't know how honest most artists are, really, but I can tell the truth about tracks and albums. And when I look back on that album, what we really didn't do is we didn't pay enough attention to how simple the first album was. The first album was really simple, and the songs were simple, and that is where I think we are at our most effective, when we think really simply and the production is not too complicated. And we hone it down to the narrowest of ideas, whether it's a lyrical spin or a vocal hook or something. And the production on the second album was just too big. It was just too clever. And I think looking back, if I was a Right Said Fred fan, I would have wanted Deepy Dippy or I'm Too Sexy 2. I wouldn't have wanted a repeat of those songs, but I would have wanted the essence of them. I would have wanted the essence of them to come out. And on that second album, it didn't. I mean, I like Bumped. I think it's got some great moments on it, and the lyrics are good. And I like Rocket Town, Comfort Me. I like the lyrics in Comfort Me. But it's just the production is wrong. The production is just it was wrong at the time. Maybe it may be that it's more suitable to what's going on now. I don't know. But at the time, I remember it didn't. I just didn't have so much fun with it. I think that's what it was. I just remember thinking, it's a bit too worthy, I suppose, is the right word. You know. So, having said that, you know, compared to sales figures today, that album was a huge success.
Yeah.
It was just that compared to the first album, it didn't do as well. So that was it was a relative issue. You know.
The third album then was Smashing, and that'd be your last one of the 90s. And then after that, you and Fred parted ways with Rob. How come you guys did that?
Well, we Rob was really into George Clinton and the funk thing, and we weren't. We were pure pop. That's the stuff that we really, really liked. In the end, we just didn't share the same musical differences and all that nonsense. But that's kind of what it was. I think there's a really good quote from the guy who split up. I think it was Twisted Sister or Wasp or something. And when they split up, the lead singer, you know, they asked him why they split up. And he said, well, it was musical differences. I like music and they don't. So that was his quote. It wasn't quite like that with Rob. But there was we just drifted apart, I think. And then we found a new guy that we worked with, a guy called Clyde, who works in Europe mainly. And we've worked with him for about 10 years now.
What do you see coming up next? I mean, in the future, you got the movie, obviously, and an album coming out early next year. If you had it your way, the next 5 to 10 years, what do you see him?
If I had it my way, the most important thing is to stay healthy. I never used to think about that, but I think about it more than I used to. There are specific things I'd like to do in the States. I'd like to tour of America. I would like to do Radio City. I'd like to play Red Rocks. Or Carnegie Hall. I've got one of these things in my head that I would like to do. Having said that, I don't care where it is. I will play anywhere. So I'd love to get over and do some stuff in the States. I'd also like to do. I love singing country. I really like singing country stuff. And I listen to a lot of Dean Martin. A lot of his stuff is country. If you listen to the actual writing of the songs, it's very country. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to do some country stuff without any country instrumentation at all. Just, you take a song like Gentle on My Mind, or you take a song like Too Many Chiefs, Not Enough Indians, or whatever, and you give it to a guy who's 23 and has never heard that song before.
Yeah.
And you say to him, how would you do this if this was a brand new song? How would you record this if you were just working on keyboards, just working on synths, just working on digital sounds? How would you do it? So that's something I'd like to do. I'd like to do a really electronic country album. But other than that, in terms of the band, there are a few singles, ideas we've got in our heads that we want to do. We haven't done the sort of quintessential album yet that I feel we're capable of doing. And in terms of songs, we've got, you know, my brother's writing all the time, and I'm anxious to get cracking on the album so that at the moment, it's been very frustrating because we've just, as I say, the Sexolic thing was done in Trondheim. It's done very quickly. So our creative input on that was quite narrow. So I'm looking forward to doing a bit more writing, a bit more recording, doing the movie. And artists these days, you know, the industry is very split now. Artists have to be inventive, and you have to be creative all the time, and you have to think of new ways of working. Because the industry has changed. You know, when Sexy came out in America, we were selling 100,000 a day. You know, I mean, it's just extraordinary. When I look back, the figures were huge.
Yeah.
And now, 100,000 in 6 months would be pretty good. So artists, you know, that's why we're doing the movie. It's partly because you need to be aware of alternatives, and you need to keep your eyes open. It's like dodging traffic right now.
Well, and then last thing, I guess, would be tell the fans listening right now, you know, how they can keep up with you. Tell us your website, your Twitter, your Facebook, etc.
Well, there's a Facebook. My brother does Facebook. The website is rightsaidfred.com, so that's very, very simple. So they can keep up to date with all the website's very active. My brother keeps that up to date the whole time. We both have a Twitter account. Mine is Richard Fairbrass, which is my name, and then there's the Fred's, which is the band's Twitter account, and Fred twitters all the time about everything. So it's very easy to stay in touch with us. We get quite a few autograph requests from the States, which I'm busy catching up with. And I, you know, I just, It's been on. We were there, I think, 4 years ago, and we did quite a bit of promo then in L.A. because we've got David Levine works for us really hard in L.A. And in the last, you know, in the last sort of few years, we've had a, you know, we've had quite a few. We've had about four releases off. There's an album called I'm a Celebrity, which we've had four releases off, and all have gone top 10 in the DJ club charts in America. So in terms of the club charts and DJ charts in America, we're very, you know, we're very busy and very prolific. The next step for us is to get that moving across into Billboard. That's what we have to do. So we've had some great remixes done by Club Jumpers and DJ Silver and DJ Sphinx and Club DJ Reza and Paul Rincon. You know, so we've had a lot of support in America. I have to say, you know, when we did some promo in America, we did Fox News, we did. We did a couple of Red Eye shows. We did about four or five, you know, pretty good stuff, pretty good TV things. And they were always really supportive and always wanted to know what we were doing. No sort of, what's the word for it? There was no negativity about it all. So I've got friends in LA, so any excuse to come over would be absolutely brilliant.
I want to thank you for all your time. You've definitely given us a lot of your time. I really appreciate it. We're big fans over here. We want you back in the States, man. We got to bring you over.
I would love to. I'd say just give me the word. I'm telling you, I didn't pay for my own ticket.
I know, right? Whatever it takes. You'll walk here if you have to, right? You'll swim.
If my swimming was more reliable, I'd try that as well.
Well, definitely stay in touch and keep me updated on the movie and the album, and we'll have to have you on again, and hopefully we'll see you over here soon.
Absolutely, Dave. I really, really appreciate you giving us the time. Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Take care.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye now.